If self-expression and innovation excite in equal measure, let's make it real. Introducing the new all-electric BMW iX2 with striking design inside and out and a BMW curved display that lets you stream movies and play video games whilst parked up. Search BMW iX2 to book a test drive. Nonconformists, please form a disorderly queue. Features require a BMW digital premium subscription. App costs may apply. Details on our website. Test drive subject to status and availability.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing podcast bonus edition. We're away on holiday this week, but as the famous saying goes, the podcast must go on. So here we are with some extra bits we couldn't fit onto the regular podcast in previous weeks. Enjoy.
Radio X.
Hey, I went to the theatre last night.
And what did you see?
I went to go and see The Plaza Suite, which is a great film. Neil Simon.
A great
Walter Matthau in three different roles. Anyway, I went to see it last night with Matthew Broderick. And Sarah Jessica Parker.
Right. And Matthew plays all three roles.
He plays all the Walter Matthau, really brilliantly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is a cracking night out of the theatre. An absolute crack.
It's one of those scripts where every line is a punchline, but also a setup.
Yes.
So that the next line is also a punchline. It just keeps coming.
It's basically three plays, three stories set in this hotel suite.
The same suite,
Plaza Hotel, New York.
Mm.
I mean, it is also, obviously, once you're over the alarm, that was once Ferris Bueller.
Right, yeah, yeah.
He's now a man. He's a man. He's a big-ass man, literally.
And he's got history with Neil Simon. He was in Biloxi Blues, which is Neil Simon.
Was that Neil Simon's role? Anyway,
go on.
So, I can only get... Vanessa was desperate to see it. It's my partner, because a big fan of Sarah Jessica Parker. We had tears when she came on. She couldn't believe she saw it in the flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I bought these tickets, last ones I can get.
Mm.
And I thought, well, this is great because it's seats one and two in a row. But that, it did say in some moments it might be slightly restrictive view.
Right, right. Yeah.
And as we're watching it, I'm thinking, I know what this is going to affect because I've seen the film.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And what was it?
Well, because in the third play,
there's
the whole play is set. I mean, it's not, I can't spoil something.
There's no spoilers.
1968.
It's a dad arranging a wedding for his daughter.
A dad is arranging a wedding for his daughter, and he's really sort of saying, right now I got a photographer down there for $300.
He's panicking.
What's he going to do? And all he talks about is money anyway. Yeah. But I suddenly realised that the bit, because I'm right on the end of the
row. I figured it out.
So I can't see the bathroom door of the bathroom that his daughter's just locked us. Mimsy has locked herself in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so most of the action is played with a father talking through a bathroom door.
Mimsy!
And of course, I can't see anything.
No, of course.
So I'm sitting, I pay quite a lot for these tickets. I'm sitting there and I actually can't see anyone on stage at all.
No.
I can't see anyone on stage at all.
Oh, no.
I'm just sitting there thinking, we know what they're doing.
They could have provided at least one, you know, those mirrors you get on country roads where it lets you see
a shoplifting thing.
Those sort of fish eye mirrors.
Do you know what? For years, I thought that was literally because one of the first times I saw one, there was one of those counters selling eggs. You know, people sell things.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, wow, that's like a shoplifting mirror. You're going to know.
People drive buying and stealing eggs.
Right. I was thinking, wow, you know.
So it was a brilliant play, was it? It was done well.
It's brilliant, but for a big chunk of time ago, I'm just looking there. I can just hear Matthew Broderick.
It's a radio play.
It's a radio play. While I can just see. I'm not kidding, though.
Were you just watching the reaction of the audience?
No, I was just watching the stage. Yeah. Looking around the hotel room, thinking, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Table's quite good. It's quite nice. I can just hear the actors.
Right,
I was thinking,
right.
This really is.
That's so funny.
Crazily restrictive. No, I've had worse.
Mm.
You know, I once bought a ticket. I couldn't believe I got a ticket to see an England game.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely behind the pillar at the old Wembley.
Right.
I mean, precisely behind you.
Not restricted viewing, just no viewing. Yeah.
No, you're just looking from either side, in which case the guy behind all gets annoyed.
He's getting annoyed.
I say, well, what am I meant to do?
Yeah.
And he goes, watch the pillar!
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to believe.
A bit harsh.
I think at Everton, they still have restricted views, which actually, given their season, is probably
they do.
It's probably given their season probably quite a good place to see.
Yeah, it's a mercy. It's a mercy thing.
It's a mercy thing,
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
The old Skipton Crabber.
The old Skipton Crabber.
Yeah. What's yours, Gav?
I think the old Skipton Crabber is either a bin lorry or it's
I love that.
It's one of those fishing magnets people use in canals.
Nice.
That's what I think.
A Skipton Crabber.
A Skipton Crabber.
That is really good.
Just pulling bicycles out.
I've been.
Old cans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you go under a lot of the bridges, that's where you find the guns.
The good stuff.
No, the guns. That's where people always drop them over bridges, don't they?
Yeah,
and canals don't move.
Sure.
Right.
I think the old Skipton Crabber is one of those grabby little litter pickup sticks with the pincers on the end.
Which are great fun, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's really good. Okay. I think it's a lateral escape move. Generally, when you're at a social occasion, you see someone coming your way.
What, and you go sideways?
And you think, uh-oh. No, you just calculate that you will bump into that person, so you just sort of...
You do the algorithm.
Yeah, you go, quick, side,
acceleration.
Lateral
movement.
Or you know exactly what I mean, though.
I've done it many times.
Christ, they're coming this way. It's any...
You use the aisle when it happens in a supermarket. Yeah, you just go different aisle straight away.
It's an invasive manoeuvre sideways.
Yeah.
Any large... And then also, I think it's something you do in conversation... When you're now trying to avoid a subject.
Oh, yes.
Then you go... Skirting around it,
Like
no, what do you mean? Hang on a second. What was that thing? Boom.
Yeah.
The old skits and grabber has to be the guy that works at the dump that picks out bits to take home and fix up, which is great. What have you got there, Gav?
No name on this. It just says the old Skipton Crabber is when you follow someone through a door a bit too late, so you have to quickly sidestep through before it closes.
Yes, nice. Yes. And lastly, Sunson, don't do the one from Ross from Surrey.
Graham and Tony Pandy says the old Skipton Crabber is a Northern Soul dance move.
Absolutely fantastic. I can tell you now, Ross from Surrey, you've almost certainly won. You know what it is. A Northern Soul dance move.
Nice.
Sometimes when you go to a Northern Soul do, it's like, you know that crap dance white people do at weddings?
Yeah.
Or anyone with no sense of rhythm?
Yes. Yeah?
And it's like they think they're Elvis or something.
Right.
It looks like someone's... formalised that.
Yes.
And turned it...
into an actual dance.
Just not being able to dance very well. You go and you sort of think, how come everyone's doing the same crap dance? Although it is more complex than that, and that's unfair because I love non-so.
Sure.
The old Skipton Crabber is the act of shuffling along a row of seats at the football theatre or cinema to get to the beer or go to the loo mid-action. Rod of Surrey.
You get Ross, that's amazing.
Ross of Surrey.
That's very strong.
It's really
very
good. I think.
Yeah.
It's like when long jump, first jump is already smashed a world record.
Yeah.
And now everyone's just sort of jumping and thinking, might get one in for bronze. What you got, Gav?
Nige of Belgrade says the old Skipton Crabber is the deluded guy who always swipes left because he set his standards way above the reality of his situation.
That's fantastic. No, not her.
No, she's not.
I'm looking for more than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got no one's matched me. I can't work it out. I literally can't work it out.
She's got to be a cracker.
I'm looking for a cracker, not this lot. Skipton Crabber. I'm a catch! The drinker in the bar who collects the empties for the bar staff just off his own back.
No, yes.
I love that. In fact, that's your hands collecting glasses.
Yeah.
Absolutely, okay.
So that's what you got there.
On this, but it suggests the old Skipton Crabber is when you keep moving up and down the buffet table, hoping the food will improve on a second glass.
Yes. Yes, never does. Gav, what do you see?
Laura on the Isle of Wight says the old Skipton Crabber is the weird guy who moves along the bar to the next woman to try his weird chat-up line.
Yes. That's fantastic.
Yeah, the first one didn't work. Now he's moved on. Yeah, go on.
Where are you from?
Yeah.
Oh. I was going to say.
Move along,
okay, the old Skipton Crabber. The paper-tight parallel park that takes 100 manoeuvres, but you won't give up on because people are watching, says Plymouth Tim. Absolutely.
Very good.
That's great. Here's a beauty from Ben in Seaford.
Go on.
It's incredible, yeah?
Mm.
Just to say that Graham and Tony Pandy, you were there or thereabouts with someone who's always fishing for compliments, which I enjoyed immensely.
Yeah.
It's the thing in arcades you try and grab a teddy bear with, came in no name. That's there or there, thereabouts.
Yeah.
But how about this, Ben in Seaford, who's going to be on the podium with this?
Mm.
The old Skipton Crabber. It's just a linesman at football.
Oh,
absolutely beautiful. The old Skipton Crabber, the bloke in the office who doesn't get chips on Friday but proceeds to crab a handful off everyone else. Yes.
Nice.
And the mate's mum who flirts with all the lads at a party.
Health isn't someday in the future, it's now. It's same-day GP appointments when you need that niggle seen to. And getting the results for your cancer test fast. Health is a direct line to experts, whatever time of day you need it. And mental health support that doesn't have an expiry date. Feeling your best every day starts today. Search Bupa Health Insurance to get your quote now. Bupa, this is health. Pre-existing conditions not covered. Terms and conditions apply.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Linkin Park, What I've Done on Radio X. It is the best thing you can listen to on your speakers or your, like, AirPods when you have really achieved something.
Like a 500-kilo deadlift or something.
More when it's sunset and you've reached a summit.
Right.
And you're looking there.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And literally you're licking the salt from your lips. But that salt's not coming from a bag of fish and chips. It's coming out of your sweat.
Yeah. You took some free weights up that last mountain you climbed, didn't you? You did some lifting on the summit.
Do you know what the great thing is? I've got water weights.
Sure.
So you fill them with water, and the nice thing is you can then drink them.
Right. And or lift. Yeah,
right.
I love it.
You lift them, they carry them there, and once you reach the top, hey, you know you've got to drink.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Hey, guys, I've got some amazing things happening in the animal world.
What?
Yeah, and well, you might play that music. The old Animal Magic theme, which actually, Gav...
Laurie Johnson.
Yes. And what did he actually write this for? Vegas! No, Las Vegas!
That's right, yes.
This song is called Las Vegas.
Yeah,
someone at the BBC saw that years ago and thought, Las Vegas, that's a superb theme for a show about animals.
That's right.
Right, guys, first up, you ready? Who would nick this, right?
Right.
An 8-foot gorilla statue. Has been stolen from the Lanarkshire Garden Centre.
Oh, no.
Well, he's obviously very strong.
There's a pub nearby. There must be.
Or there's more people than just one involved.
Gary the gorilla was reported missing from the Reynard.
Gary?
In Carluke. The fiberglass statue had helped to direct customers to the store for a decade. Could go down the road. There's an 8-foot gorilla. Turn left there.
Yeah.
Sorry, turn left there. Sorry, it's Scotland. Turn left, is he Gary?
Gorilla.
Dirty Greek girl. Anyway, weeks after the theft, a possible sighting was reported to the owner. The statue had been seen on a trailer near Warwick. That's probably your boy then, isn't it?
Well, upright on a trailer.
Yes, on a trailer. 8-foot gorilla. Anyway, guess where it's turned up?
Where?
A lay-by.
You just been left there.
Someone just thought, sorry, we can't sell it. Just dump it.
It's too big, mate. We can't hide it.
Can't really fence an 8-foot gorilla successfully, can you?
Legally, a very interesting precedent.
Situation. Why?
Mm. Well, because if the gorilla had been broken in bits, that might be fly tipping.
Right, yes. Of course.
But as it is, it's gorilla dumping.
Mm. Right, Good point.
There's a distinction, but legally, I think it's important.
They should just take the gorilla from the lay-by and just move it into the woods a bit.
Yes.
And leave it there.
Yeah, leave it there,
Just let people just come across it
and
as
maybe,
they're walking through the woods.
No, but also something in it maybe... so that the head could swivel slightly from something wind-related.
That's right, just give it so it looks like it's moving, yeah.
Give it a bit of movement.
Sure.
Maybe put it on some one of those sort of yoga ball things.
Maybe solar-powered, like, red lights in its eyeballs to make it even scarier.
You've got a bit too far now.
Yeah.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, while the soldiers have stolen animal statues... Henry the Stag had it good for 20 years standing in a front garden in Knightsbridge. It's a landmark used by London taxi drivers. I've seen this statue for years.
Right.
It's a 60-kilo sculpture. It's in the TV presenter, Alison Corks, the interior designer and broadcaster.
Right.
Very rich woman. And she's had it nicked from out the garden.
What?
Yeah, she's offered £1,000 reward, which, considering it's worth £10,000, I'd up that a bit faster.
Yeah, I would too.
I never get why people offer things that are... They offer a sort of small reward for something that's worth a lot.
Yeah.
Do me a big favour. Give us £1,000. If you come back with this thing that's worth about £10,000, I'll give you £1,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sorry. Excuse me, I'm £9,000 down on the whole deal.
These numbers aren't adding up.
I'll just keep it then. Yeah, right. Lastly, ladies, but if you do see that, please return. It's rather a nice landmark that I drive past in, you know, on my way around town. Lastly, ladies and gentlemen, this... must be so evil. Are you? Are either of you magpie OCD people?
I will salute, yeah. Although I did salute a pigeon the other day by mistake because I didn't have my glasses.
What does that
on.
Mean?
Well, it just had similar markings, but the distance was too far.
I find myself saluting parrots.
You're kidding, yeah.
Those parrots, so they've got that sort of, you know, they're sort of quite hench towards the front of the
I felt
bird.
Foolish, yeah. The pigeon was.
How do you salute them?
Just a normal salute.
Hello, Mr. Magpie. How's your wife and kids?
Yes.
Say something.
And I say out loud.
Okay, it's from the fact that magpies mate for life. So if you see one, it's an unlucky thing.
Right.
Because now you can accumulate. If you're on a walk, according to Brewer's Dictionary of Phrases and Fable, you accumulate them.
Good. That's good to know.
So you can add them up.
If it's not in the same incident.
One journey, you can add them up.
Good.
Right.
I mean, you still salute them, but I don't know what the deal is then.
Yeah.
Anyway, get this. So if I saw this, I'd probably go. Myself.
Go on.
Are you ready? An amateur photographer. There you go. An amateur photographer has captured a one in... Well, they've never seen one before. It's one in a million, they reckon, which means you've never seen one before. Guess what it is? A white magpie.
Whoa. No.
Antichristos. Terminus. Antichristos.
Whoa, that's so terrifying. That's so scary.
Terminus.
The white magpie.
Antichristos. Are horror films made. Literally. Yeah. The white magpie. I mean, literally, if you're looking for a horror film called One for Sorrow.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's right there, right?
Yeah, it's there.
No, it's got to mean the end of the world.
It's got to mean.
Literally at the end of the world.
It's got to mean, yeah.
Hooray!
Yeah, hooray! anyway, Terry Wright captured the animal, which has the nickname Joy. Near the Pembrokeshire coast this month, the magpie is... I'm not going to read out the word because I can't repronounce it, but it means it lacks pigment in its feathering. The Welsh Ornithological Society has described the bird as very unusual. The old Welsh magpie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something that's very unlucky.
Very rare.
Really rare. Unlucky. Really rare.
Yeah.
And really... Oh, no, but I don't even talk to him, mate. He comes in the betting shop. He's like the old Welsh magpie, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 Thang.
Radio X.
Suede trash right here on Radio X. Talking of trash, my neighbour doesn't recycle. Instead, he burns all his plastic waste in his fire bin in the garden. Doesn't matter if it's a heat wave, he still does it.
God, that'd be so annoying.
Stablehurst, during the show today, you have been just giving us some human intelligence, on-site intelligence about your neighbours.
Mm.
These are the notes you would send to the council. Mm. It is to Dan O'Connell, to whom now we turn. And before we asked him what is on his spellbindingly good evening show, let's ask him if there's anything that's annoying him about his new neighbours or anything he doesn't miss about the neighbours he waved goodbye to when he moved to his new abode. Daniel, good evening.
Good evening, TJ.
Dan, go on.
I've got to say, actually, I've been really lucky. I've only ever had one problem.
What?
About...
I thought you were going to say, because I've got this great body, TJ. And it just doesn't stop looking great with this sheen of sweat on it when I've...
Sorry, carry on. About four flats ago, I lived in a lovely conversion, but it was a rubbish conversion. And an Italian couple moved in above.
Oh,
right.
So they didn't stop, right?
Unbelievable. Italian. Unbelievable. And when I went up there, and my wife was pregnant at the time, I was like, look, we're not getting any sleep. We hear everything you do.
Squeak,
everything
squeak.
You say. Yeah. Not just squeak, my friend. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I got
I had
the
that below my
deal.
Office years ago, and the worst thing about it was, is you're thinking, what is he doing?
What the hell
you know,
is he
sometimes
doing?
Sometimes we were sitting there trying to write me in there just thinking, man, he's good. He's really good down there, or he's got some sort of power tool.
Anyway, so we left in the end because they wouldn't stop.
So
we
really?
Well, hang on, wait a second, you left because yeah. of the...
Oh, it was mental.
Because of the amore. Night.
Unreal. I'm not making this up. This is a genuine story. We left because they would not. They
I know,
would
but
not
back
concede.
Then you were Dan O'Connell doing it, you know.
Johnny Vaughan,
Radio X.
So we've got to the main course. The co-op has been forced, to let most shoplifters go.
Right.
I'm not going to delight in shoplifting. It is virtually a sport these days. So for your main course, a little chat about sweetie shops.
Or just reminiscing.
Yeah, just reminiscing. Yeah, you know, we've all got that shop we used to shoplift in. Mm. My case, it was a sort of discount place called Dawn Discount that used to keep the pocketeers miles away. You could walk out with about eight of them in your socks.
Amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. So pocketeers, which literally were just easy to nick.
Right.
I mean, it's not something I'm proud of, but they did fit in your pocket. It was in the nature of the beast. We used to call them pickpocketeers.
Sure.
And the only trouble was that they always contained ball bearings.
Oh.
Do you remember pocketeers? Those little games that used to ping around with ball bearing anyway.
Yeah, go on.
Talk about the sweets.
Sure.
That shopkeeper who could never... Mm. You know, but really, the romance.
That group of you at school just going into the shop.
Yes, yes, before the days of two at a time, please.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you see shops where it's power, but they say one at a time.
Yeah, for good reason.
Imagine Sunta's got some great stories to tell.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, so your shoplifting memories, a great thing for the main course, really is.
Great chat.
And also, if anyone was ever caught... Ooh.
Ooh. X.
Ever wanted a vacuum that can just do it all? Muddy car boot, a garden spruce up, even a washing machine leak. A Kärcher wet and dry vacuum is ideal for all those tough jobs your indoor vacuum can't handle. From sawdust to heavy rubble and liquid, save time and effort tackling all those messy jobs. Bring back the wow to your garden, home or car with a Kärcher wet and dry vacuum.
Radio
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang.
We are joined, ladies and gentlemen. It's a massive privilege because they're a firm favourite of the Thang Gang. We're joined by 50% of the Libertines. One appeared in a TV miniseries with Tony Blackburn, the other once filled in graves at Wilson Cemetery. Christ, that's gothic.
It's so gothic.
One is a former cemetery worker. it is, ladies and gentlemen, Carl, Ashley, Raphael, Barat, and Peter Dirty. Showtime!
Pleasure to be here, Johnny.
On lovely to have you both.
And the band, I'd like to thank you for playing our records and supporting our new album.
Can I just say, on behalf of the 4 till 7 Thang, it has been a privilege to play your records and marvel at the independent spirit of the Libertines and projects you've gone to do on your own and then that coming together again. Yeah. And it's been a wonderful thing to observe and feel we're part of. Oh. The Libertines, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Guy and Robert. Sorry, I got that completely wrong.
I had to, because last night before we went to Kip, I was given the list of the rota today and they said we were doing the Johnny Vaughan show and so you popped up in my dream.
Did I?
Wow. Yeah,
so it's really surreal as well.
What happened? What happened?
I was at the Scottish Devolved Parliament acting as translator for a visiting group of soldiers. It was Ukrainian and Russian soldiers there, and I was supposed to be translating for them. And you were having a debate with Francois Hardy... Right, about wind farms or something.
That is so weird.
And then, but then you started having a song off. You started like having to, instead of debating, you started doing a song each. And you did Tim Burgess's, the Charlotte song Weirdo, which you had on a VHS cassette.
Yeah.
And then you were going, is he translating it? And I went, I'm trying. And you've got to do the moves too, because you were done. It was so weird.
Do you want to love that? It's Carl's looking at me really proud of you.
Yeah.
Carl's looking at me like, I told you he was great.
Because he had the same dream with Alan Carr.
Shut up.
I should have said I had the same dream with Alan Carr.
No, that was like musical shtick.
That was amazing.
Hey, Pete, you haven't got a middle name.
I do not know. I don't. Although, on Wikipedia, they say my middle name's Daniel, which is odd. So what I did, you could log into Wikipedia and change it.
Yeah.
So I did, and then the next time I checked, someone had changed it back.
I put it back.
So I changed it back, and in the end, you know what? I just don't go Wikipedia more because it's...
Okay.
But it distressed me. I ain't got anything against the name, Daniel, but...
In Wikipedia, it says I used to work in a sex shop selling videos.
That's weird.
And I've changed it twice, and I've got my agent to change it.
He's like, and also change... I own that place. Yeah.
Let's find Pete a decent middle name.
Pete
Danny Doherty. Let's find him a decent...
Someone's danned you off, haven't they? Really?
Yeah. 83936, please keep those coming in. So how are you both? Carl, how are you since I last saw you?
I'm great.
I saw you went up the bracket, turned 20.
Yeah, that was... Yes, that was...
It did, yeah.
Yeah, and you did a podcast with our very own Dr. Sunta Templeton.
We did. Oh, you came out, didn't you? You came out to see us.
Yeah, down in... Where
Cornwall.
Yeah,
what were you doing in Cornwall?
Well, we were preparing for that landmark moment when Dr. Sunta Templeton would grace us with her...
Her presence is the correct answer.
Yeah.
We've had Up the Bracket 2002, Libertines 2004, Anthems for Doomed Youth 2015. The new album, All Quiet on the Eastern Esplanade.
Woo! What? Oh, my Lord, can't believe it's come round.
Can I ask you something? I was just looking at this. You got Anthem for Doomed Youth, which obviously a lovely poem, Wilfred Owen, but also... All Quiet on the Eastern Esplanade out today. Do you sort of feel like music is a war?
There wasn't an element of that years ago. We really thought that we were willing to die for something and we didn't know what.
Absolutely.
And these visions we had of like the glory of empire were fading into this different idea of the world and our history. So we were quite confused.
It's quite interesting. You've got these two that are, you know, very strong Great War motifs.
I think we might be one of the last generations, hopefully, that grew up on the back of our countries, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, those people had wooden legs and stuff. You see so much of that now. But I think it's part of our vocabulary.
Well, no, loads of our granddads are engaged.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Pete grew up in a military barracks as well. That might maybe...
Did you?
I was an army brat. My dad was in the army, kind of still is, you know, civil service part of it now, but... Yeah, he spent 35 years in my little sister's in the army and my brother-in-law. And for many years, probably till I was 11 or 12, that was what I was really expected to be, maybe a little bit...
Well, you were expected to join the army?
Yeah, and it was I mean, that was the culture I was brought up in, and that's what I knew. But it occurred to me as I started to get a little bit older that going around the world like in a uniform with a gun... when I first saw a picture of the Beatles when I was about 12, 13, I just thought, you know, I'd rather go around the world with a guitar in my hand rather than a gun in that uniform rather than...
It didn't stop us joining the army at one point, though. We tried to join Holloway TA, Bomb Disposal Squad.
Yeah,
you tried to join?
Yeah. The advert, we thought, because his dad's, you know, already in a gang, we might get a few perks.
Hmm.
And we thought that it would be like going away every fourth weekend with a bunch of dentists and whatnot, doing assault courses and having a rollicking good time. However...
Wait a second. The Libertines tried to join the bomb disposal
half
squad.
Of the Libertines.
Sorry. The Libertines half. That we have here today.
Listen, we didn't try. They would have had us, but they insisted we had to cut our hair, didn't they? And he had this amazing ponytail at the time, which we don't talk about now, but...
What really inspired your title, other than the war? Let's get back on track. All Quiet on the Esplanade.
The Esplanade, the Eastern Esplanade, is the wonderful seafront road wherein you'll find Albion HQ... also known as the Albion Rooms,
right?
The hotel and studio, which is our headquarters.
Did you record the album there?
Most of it. We wrote and recorded most of it there. We did a bit of mixing in Normandy as well. So the Esplanade is where we're based, and a lot of the characters in the songs you'll see on the front cover, and if you've got it there, yeah, they're from in and around Margate and the Esplanade.
I mean, a lot of writing happened there, so a lot of these people factored in. The songs, unbeknownst to me, until I had to try and find something to go on the album cover other than the building.
Right.
Songs are actually like full of characters by name, a lot of them as well, and so we sort of extracted them and cast them and put them on the cover.
Johnny Vaughan,
Radio X. When you came on, we found out that Pete hasn't got a nickname, although it's
a middle name.
I do have a nickname because I was a great goalkeeper.
No, we're not talking about
nicknames. Hang on, let me tell you this thing. Okay. I was a great goalkeeper. They used to call me Peter the Cat or something that sounded a bit like at school.
You call the cat what? Like Bonetti.
But spelt different.
Like Bonetti.
Yeah.
When I first took my daughter, when she was two, down to Stamford Bridge, the person doing a guided tour around the thing. Presumably you're not booing my daughter. I was. Because that is punk.
That's who we are.
Because that's the spirit. Because that's QPR.
It's seasonal, mate.
I wasn't booing Chelsea, mate. I was booing your 2-year-old. Anyway, so Peter Bonetti was doing a guided tour, the actual cat. Not that you weren't the cat, but you know what I mean. And he held her. And they were photographed in the Chelsea newspaper, in the Chelsea magazine, was Peter Bonetti holding my daughter. Anyway, my ex saw this picture. She goes, did you let a complete stranger hold? Okay, what happens if you...
Safe pair of hands.
Well, I said, exactly what I said. I said, no, there is no safer pair of hands that you could place a child. Okay, so you haven't got a middle name, so we've got some suggestions here. Gav, what have you got there? What you
Clive in Penge is suggesting the gent, but that's actually a nickname.
Yes.
Pete, you've been living in France, haven't you?
I live in France, yeah.
Alice in York has said, what about Pete Marie?
Because
the French love putting that Marie in
we've
there.
We've also been talking on the show about how manly, how much manlier it makes you sound.
It does,
Pete
yeah.
Marie Doherty. Yeah,
it runs off the tongue. Mm.
Pete Marie.
That's Captain Danger.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Marie Doherty. I love him.
Yeah. Also, Stee in Pontefract has suggested, because of Goodfellas, has suggested Pete Paul Doherty. Ooh, just nice. So you are Petey and Paulie at the same time.
Felix in Portsmouth says Pete Diggity Doherty.
Ooh. All right.
Pete Diggity Doherty.
Yeah, he digs it the most.
Yeah.
Johnny, okay. I used to lie and pretend I did have a middle name at school because everyone else had one. Yeah, I used to tell people my name was Peter John Patrick Doherty because that was my dad's middle name. What's your middle name, Johnny?
Randy.
Actually, Randy.
Just Randy. Wow. Yeah. Just Randy.
It's Randy.
It's true. I'm just saying my middle name's Randy. Yeah. It's for you got to just deal with it.
Say horny now, really, don't
you? Yeah.
X at Three Business, we think you should get more for less. With our boundless business offer, the whole team gets unlimited calls, data, and texts. And the more SIMs you buy, the more you'll save. All on the UK's fastest 5G network. That's what we call big value. Search Three Business or visit us in store.
Unlimited in the UK, based on Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data H1 2023. See 3.co.uk.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
All quiet on the Eastern Esplanade. Go get it, go get it, go get it. Because it's got tremendous tracks. I'm going to list them now. If you'd like to comment on the tracks as we go, that'd be great. This is not John Kennedy.
Hmm.
It's very different.
It's not forensic. It's fast.
It's, yes. First track, Run, Run, Run.
We wanted a song that they'd use as the back and sack track for the highlights of the 100-metre sprint this Olympics.
Okay.
Genius. Yeah, run.
Genius.
Okay. Second track, Mustang.
What's
that all about?
Mustangs.
You're Mustangs. Okay, fair enough.
Dreams. But at night, she dreams of Mustangs. You know, it's Tracy Lads to Drinky. When the kids are at school in a juicy velour tracksuit, she stares at the wall. But every night, she's riding Mustangs through her dream.
Nice.
That switches to driving, I don't know, depending on how you're feeling at the time.
Okay, nice.
And awesome. There's the big man in a low rider, smoking rollies in the sunset, unholy from the road. He guzzles up the rider, he's like Pac-Man when he goes.
Got ourselves a very rare a cappella there, and that's
really
going to be...
That's really good. The Libertines are here! The Sunny Libertines!
I have to add, that's a strong start to the album, those two songs.
They're really good.
And then comes...
I Have a Friend.
War.
War all over.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's going to be the Ballad of Buckmoot?
And the Meat Grinder, but you can have that for Temple Tones.
Okay, nice, thanks. Merry Old England.
That's if you're coming across the channel in a dinghy trying to get in, I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Man with the Melody.
Well, it's quite hard to place that one, but we ended up placing it as a schizophrenic busker wandering across that big bit of land beyond our hotel.
Wasteland, yeah.
That's
going really cheap, that land.
Is it?
Yeah.
You can't really build it, can you?
They've got issues with sinkholes, so get it for nothing.
Yeah, if you want to talk about Margate planning issues, it's fine. It sort of fits in. It's very rare.
You don't want just another big block.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's very rare.
Sell above the market price.
It's very rare an album playback, you know, can accommodate a chat about planning permission in Margate.
We want more affordable housing or communal land is what we need. We don't want just like overpriced flats that local people can't afford.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yep.
But I think, I hate to say it, lads, I think you might be part of the problem. I see you, comrade. Unfortunately, me and my comrade here see you as a force of gentrification. No, you're a force of gentrification. No, you're consigning the lump of proletariat. Next
up. Give
a
nice recording studio in a cheap hotel.
Yeah, right.
So fair enough.
Can't say further than that.
You can't.
But I would say that, yeah.
How many jobs have we created in Margate?
Over 100 jobs we've created, don't you?
Yeah, it doesn't...
And how many of them people live in Margate? 99.9%.
But and how many of those people literally...
Only one of them.
It's part of counter-revolutionary vanguardism. It's most chronic.
About 70%.
Okay, fair enough.
So the last who looks after the hotel, and her husband, who does the cooking, who was also an artist. But I asked him what he'd been up to recently. He said, just cooking.
He's a good artist.
It's kind of a hymn to them and their, how they came together and how they ended up in Margate and whilst trying to keep their dreams alive.
I think Just Cooking was great.
You're just dismissing the whole sub-revolutionary sect as cooks. No more. They got lives too, Johnny.
Cooks really poor.
you I was a cook. You corporate fat cats.
I was a cook.
They used to be cooks.
Oh, you didn't forget that, did you? Again, counter-revolutionary scum. Night of the Hunter.
Knife crime, country solace in country and western choruses. Not knowing that you like country and western, if all you've been like force fed is grime for years.
Baron's Claw.
Baron's Claw is the idea of having this this strange character like down the street, and all the kids sort of marvel at him and are scared of him, and he's got this
up in a big house.
He's got a claw for a hand, which there's all rumours about why and where he got this claw.
What about Shiver?
Oh yeah, in many ways it's most personal on there, because the very first time we ever sat down with guitars, we just had these few lines that were going round and round, and the song didn't go around, forgot about it. And that line, the last dream of every dying soldier, I've seen you there, flowers in your hair. When we were desperate for lyrics, we sort of pulled in these lyrics.
From the beginning, when you were first writing together?
The very first night.
Tried to.
Oh, okay, right.
Wow. How
nice.
We wrote the new version in Jamaica, like, and it was the Queen Elizabeth's funeral on the telly. It was very surreal with the mountains and the electric pre-storm in the air.
There was a hurricane, birds hitting
the glass studio.
Wow, what a weird context.
But because of the Queen, you think that was because of the Queen? And
they were doing themselves in because of her.
Because they couldn't take it.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
But they didn't die. They were just concussed. They hit the glass. With this little glass out on top of a hill, they hit the glass. You hear a massive boof.
They'd do it again, it'd be the same bird. You'd have a look.
Kamikaze gulls. The Jamaican kamikaze gull.
They've evolved special helmets.
They've evolved the special things.
They just go flying into the glass.
They do it. It's the attention seeking of Gannett.
Look at me!
Be Young, that's next on the list.
Post-apocalyptic world coming up, and climate change and everything, and having these conversations, you get stuck in this doom loop, and then the chorus is just... Be young, fall in love, go out and have a knees up. So,
yeah.
And lastly...
Well, this one's obviously going to get a lot of airplay.
I hope so.
Songs they never play on the radio. Has it got loads of swearing in it?
Yeah.
That's just slightly cynical.
I don't think there is any swearing,
is there?
Take that out. I can't really talk about it or get emotional, so I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, it's a song we started years ago, another one. And one that we could never quite finish. I guess it was like a little bird tapping at the window, not smashing its face in.
Finish me.
It was.
What did you say?
You can be emotional.
Straight away.
Finish me.
You can be emotional with Johnny
Vaughan. You can be emotional. I'm fine.
Yeah, it's partly about art. It's almost a song about songwriting and all the petty little back and forths we have about the things that are really important to us. Basically, the one thing we do.
Do you ever do that thing when you're writing together where you'll concede because he's disagreeing with something that you've said?
Yeah.
You're nice about something he's done, because then he might let that through and be a bit...
No, further than that, it's like, look, what do you think of this song? I'll say it. He'll say, oh, it's all right. I'll go, you can sing it. He goes, oh, it's a great song.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah? Yeah, nice one, Johnny.
Pete and Carl, the Libertines! Woo!
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 Fang.
Radio X.
Looks like Gav's got a hero for us. Every single Monday, the Woodman has... A hero that is a man-eater, heroic by dint of the fact they challenge the beastly dominion of man. They dare to have man on their menu, the dominant species.
Mm.
I mean, some people argue mosquitoes are having it, that they get the result every day.
Yeah,
but,
right.
If we want to start looking at the league tables...
And they literally eat us.
Yes. Yeah, they eat us. If we want to start looking at the league tables, really, the world
it's
of
insects...
It's your insect with your tootsie.
Absolutely.
Every single day, it's a massacre. Right, Kev?
So the hero today, Johnny, is the honey badger.
They're legend, aren't
they? A vicious mustelid from Africa, Southwest Asia and the Indian subcontinent.
It's a weasel, isn't it?
It is. It's pretty much the daddy of all weasels. It's more like a weasel than a badger. And
it really is.
It's got a long body.
It's Jacob Rees-Mogg.
It's thick set. It's got a broad back. They're very strong. They're very tough. They've got very loose skin, which I'll come back to in a minute. They've got a small flat head, short muzzle, small eyes.
Turns out my Jeff.
Invisible ears, pretty much. Because they're so vicious, these things. They don't need ears in the way for when they're fighting. They've got shorts.
Are they as vicious as people say?
Well, in terms of defending themselves easily, they'll take on a Cape buffalo. And I'm not exaggerating. I've seen footage of them fighting lions.
Really?
Off. Yeah, they'll scare a lion off who thinks, oh, I might eat this little thing.
That's which just shows you little guys with attitude, yeah?
Absolutely
right.
And it's
right. Why no one can ever say who is the toughest guy in any town
ever.
Exactly. Because there's always a little Scotsman.
Always, always. Yeah. They've got, they're about a foot tall at the shoulder. They're the largest mustelid in Africa. Nose to tail, about 3.5 foot long. The bigger males weigh about 35 pounds. They usually eat honey, frogs, snakes, even poisonous, very poisonous snakes.
They can handle
They'll eat them, even if they get bitten by the poisonous snake.
It doesn't matter.
They just get a mild hangover.
It doesn't affect them. Hangover?
Yeah, just a slight little tinge of a hangover.
Okay, fair enough.
They eat tortoises, lizards, rabbits, rodents, birds. They eat, they eat people's sheep, their chickens. They eat everything.
They eat people's sheep. Wait a second. On this, the Dev St. Bridget.
Exactly.
You dare.
Exactly.
You dare to bring the name of chicken into
When they eat anything, they eat all of it. There's nothing they don't eat.
Really?
Of the thing.
Bones, everything.
Everything. Skin, fur, bones, the lot. They eat all of it. They're famous for their strength, their ferocity and toughness. Things like quills and stings and scorpions can't get through their skin.
Yeah.
Their skin is a quarter inch thick around the neck.
Wow.
And very loose on the body. Do you know why?
So they can turn around if someone's got a grip of them.
Exactly.
Same as bulldogs.
Exactly right. Exactly right. If even a Cape buffalo, one of the most dangerous animals in Africa, gets near their territory, they will attack ferociously.
They can't kill one, though.
The only real... No, they wouldn't be... Well, they'd have to have a few of them. The only real known predator...
They'd have to go in mob-headed.
They'd have to go in firmed up,
They'd have to go in mob-headed, told up.
The only real known successful predator of a honey badger is the leopard.
Mob-handed.
Are they dangerous? Yes. Are they deadly? Yes. In 2015, a 56-year-old man died in Letihakane in Botswana after he had a fight with a honey badger.
Wow.
He'd been trying to shoot with a bow and arrow. Big mistake. Not only do arrows do nothing to the honey badger, but it'll get you.
Yeah,
and he died as a result of his wounds.
Yeah.
Let us salute the honey badger.
The man died as a result of the wounds. A man has died in Botswana as a result of wounds inflicted by a honey badger.
Vicious thing.
How exciting is it to play the British Heart Foundation's weekly flutter?
Ka-ching!
Exciting enough to get your heart racing. Just a little bit. Like texting a mate. The same time they text you. Huh. Like flipping pancakes with majestic grace. Or spotting that last parking space.
Yes!
With the added joy of knowing the money you donate helps to fund life-saving research. £1 to play, £1,000 to win every week. Search British Heart Foundation Weekly Lottery. See? It's a little bit exciting.
Gamble responsibly. Over 18s only. T's and C's apply. Please see our website for more details. British Heart Foundation is a registered charity.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Right, you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? My partner Vanessa and I agreed. Sorry, this is Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. It's just coming up to 5:30. Thank you so much for joining us. Tuesday, March the 19th. Here's what I got for you. My partner Vanessa and I agreed no more using the perfectly sized Dieter Rams designed Vitzo 621 tables as TV dinner trays. We're not going to sit there.
It was too good, you would have never made it back to the dining table ever again.
It was so good. Especially when we found out you could turn them either way.
Oh, man.
It works as a higher table that then rests between the legs even better.
Oh, man, you're not going to drop anything on your shirt.
And they're perfectly sized. The larger one was perfect for me, the smaller one.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. Yeah, you know?
Dangerous, dangerous.
Yes. Yep. I mean, it really was. It was too...
Oh, God.
Cut a glass of wine. Anyway, we decided never to do that again. Them's the rules. You also sent in your rules, domestic or otherwise, those things that must be done. We've had, you must never poke another man's fire when visiting their home.
Yeah.
Open fire or barbecue.
Sure.
If asked, and there's a lot of people, you can help a mate with the barbecue.
Sure, if you're asked.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if he looks at a loose end or like he wants to get away from a situation.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because you always get that bit of a crew at the barbecue.
Of course,
them's the rules. Whoever gets the bay leaf in their bolognese sauce must do the dishes.
That's my favourite.
No, but the thing about that is, bay leaves are big.
They are.
That's easy to fix, that one.
Well, right.
But anyway, the National Lottery isn't done with bay leaves, is
it? Yeah, I mean, you're not supposed to serve the bay leaf.
One bay leaf coming out. The winner is... Them's the rules. And if you text three times, you're conversing.
Yeah.
Pick the phone up and call. Them's the rules. We have from
another listener.
Sunta, what have you got there?
Doug says, at Christmas dinner, it is mandatory for all attendees to wear the crowns from the crackers.
Absolutely right.
The first person to remove theirs has to do the cleaning up afterwards. Them's the rules. However, there is a caveat that the head chef is usually exempt from said cleanup.
Yes.
That's usually my tactic, Make sure you do the cooking.
Well, only if you're snoozing, because sometimes, you know, you need to escape twice.
That's true. And the crown hats as well. When you take them off, you still feel them for about three hours.
Yeah, what's that about?
Still feeling.
Hey.
It's still there.
Have you discussed that with people?
No. I've only just thought about it.
That's so
true. Because
it'll
have fallen off a good 20 minutes ago and you don't realise.
And it's not even a strong hat.
No.
It's very subtle when you're wearing it.
It's abstract.
But you can really feel it.
Okay, Gav, with me, because I've got quite a small head, it doesn't particularly touch sides.
Right.
So generally, I have to try and find a paperclip.
Of course.
To make it tighter. Does
it sit on the ears for you? Does it just sit on the top of the ears?
I'll tell you something as well I've noticed, recently.
Yeah.
Crowns haven't got the height they used to.
No, you end up with your head above the top of the pointy
bit. It's more like a sort of rind.
Sure. It's more like a headband. It's like a tissue headband.
It's like a serrated headband.
That you feel for at least 7 days after Christmas.
Yeah.
That's going to look quite interesting on you two.
No, I'm just thinking, yeah, we look like a boiled egg just poking out the...
But nicely decorated.
We look like boiled eggs just poking out the egg cup. Yeah, Gavin, a very interesting observation, Gavin. Well done.
Thank you.
I mean, the way you said it, I thought it was so familiar to me, that feeling. I thought you were...
I thought this
must be an old one.
No, it just occurred to me.
No, I thought this must be something everyone knows, but the fact is you've just raised that.
Sure.
You're the first human to voice that. It's quite extraordinary. Who was the first man to... Sorry.
Okay, this one's from Gary in Kent.
Fascinating woodman.
Gary says, them's the rules. Upon landing from a flight, it is the family alpha male who will stand closest to the baggage carousel to retrieve the cases and other checked luggage.
Yes.
The subordinate family members must stand behind the alpha, ready for the cases to be passed back to them. They are permitted to undertake, quote, spotting tasks.
I was going
to
say spotting.
As items appear, but they must not retrieve items from the carousel themselves.
Yeah.
Them's the rules.
Yeah.
According to Gary.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Thank you very much, Gary North Kent. Wonderful, wonderful rules. This is Tudor from Bath. If your child is having a tantrum, rolling around on the pavement of a busy high street, it is the responsibility. This is genius. You ready? Of whoever touched the child last to sort it out.
Right.
That is fantastic. Your child...
It's like if you smell the nappy first, you've got to deal with it.
Yeah, you keep quiet about it. That's genius, isn't it? Send your rules, 83936, domestic or otherwise. Them's the rules, 83936. We want them, all right?
Radio X.
Dr. Sunta Templeton went to the theatre last night to see Plaza Suite.
Yeah.
With Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker. I saw it a couple of weeks ago. Fantastic play.
A Neil Simon classic.
It is a classic. Have you seen the film? It's Walter Matthau in several different roles.
Yeah.
It's three stories about the same room.
Yes.
All take place in this Plaza Suite at a hotel. Sunta went last night, and I'm drawing this out, since, like you do with the news and sport when I'm running a bit late. What happened last night, then, that you wouldn't tell me about?
So I went on my own. I got myself a lovely large glass of red wine.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And had to find my seat. And some lovely ladies, but four ladies had to move out of the row so I could sit down. So
right.
Shuffled in.
Hey, the old...
What was it?
Skipton Crabber happened.
Yeah.
And as I got to my seat...
You said you did the old Skipton Crabber.
Skipton Crabber, got to my seat.
Yeah.
It's just about 5 minutes till it's going to start. And as I sit down, the woman next to me, she gets back in her seat, kind of nudges my arm. And red wine goes my hands, down my sleeve, down my trousers. But I'm wearing all black.
So this was a big... full glass of red wine.
Large sure, glass yeah, of red yeah, wine. Okay.
Yes. As the French say, a ballon rouge.
I think they call it a Sunter Boehm yeah, in that theatre.
It was
theater.
Very, it was very yeah, yeah. near the
Templeton.
Top.
Yeah.
But I was fine. I was like, do you know what? I'm wearing all black. I'm not going to stress. It's fine. Yeah. It'll dry. I'm fine. So I'm settled in and I look, just glance to my left where I notice the man sat next to me is wearing cream trousers and has red wine splattered all across his lap.
Oh, no.
And he yeah, hasn't actually yeah. noticed.
Oh, no.
So then I'm yeah. like, do I sit this out and hope he doesn't notice before the lights go down?
Or do you explain it wasn't your fault?
Or do I have
fault?
To explain?
Okay, can I just say, 83936, what do you think Sunta did? 83936.
Radio X.
We left Sunta in a theatre. Mm. She just spilt red wine on to the chap's leg next door. She didn't realise that till she just glanced down because she spilt it over herself. She was wearing black jeans. That's her. And that's not a coincidence.
Why?
She does that too because there is a slight possibility of her spilling wine.
Oh, yeah.
Any night she goes out.
She doesn't get caught out like that anymore. Right. Those days are over.
No way did she own up, says Ben. Knowing Sunta, she does little as possible. Said Mark in Wolverhampton, owned up. She is a woman of honesty, integrity and class.
Uh-huh.
Sent her to the old Skipton crab back out, said yeah. Adam and Warrington. Down the red wine, then went back and got a large white wine. So there's
oh,
no evidence whatsoever, says Duffy in Enfield. Teach, there is no way in hell the desolate one owned up to Northern Jeff in Wigan. She waited until the lights went up, stood up, pointed and shouted at the top of her voice, it was her! She did it! I think Sunta knocked the whole glass back pretty smartish, then hid the glass under the seat. That's Kev on Heat.
That's what I would have done, yeah.
Did she ask the elbow knocker to hold her glass as she quickly retired to powder her nose and then give it the trainers out of the theatre? Being the devil woman that she is, my money is on the fact she smirked at the man's now wine-stained trousers before enjoying the show. I think Sunta probably leant over and sucked the wine from the guy's trousers.
Wow.
As Gav said as he read that, a vampire. Oh! What did Sunta do? Oh, should we find out next?
What's it going to be?
Yes, let's find out next. Let's find out next. Because it's actually quite a long answer. It's quite complicated. Mm. And it involves so many more elements. So we'll find out what Sunta did next.
X. My favourite coffee is a strong coffee. Strong enough to grab me by the collar, give my taste buds a talking to, then bang a wakey-wakey gong in the centre of my head. The Costa Americano. Oh, that's the stuff. It's not just strong enough to make me a morning person, it's strong enough to throw me over its shoulder and carry me through my day.
From flat whites to Americanos, cappuccinos to lattes, you'll find your favourite coffee at Costa. Costa Coffee.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
In a rare break from tradition, we've got some genuine dilemma-based radio, which is often considered one of the, what they call, pure form radio. That's what you should be doing.
Is it really?
Dilemma. Setting up dilemmas, discussion.
Sure.
Debate.
The 3Ds.
Yeah. So Sunta's in the theatre. She's gone to see Plaza Suite at the Savoy. Lovely theatre.
Lovely theatre.
Art Deco. She's bought herself a single seat in the back row. She's going in about S5. She didn't have the restricted view that I did at the same theatre in K1 and 2, but 1 week before. So our heroine has headed for her seat with a large, some might say, overfilled glass of red wine, clutching that ballon rouge. Sunta is sitting there. She's done the old Skipton crabber along the row. Four ladies in seats 1 to 4, leading to 5 there, have got up to allow Sunta to get to that seat. They sat down again. One of them, sitting by Sunta, then nudges Sunta.
By accident.
A jostle.
As she kind of takes...
No one's suggesting anything otherwise. Spitefully.
You know, I didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything. She's nudged Sunta, and the effect, just when Sunta's going for a sip of this very, very full glass of wine. Think you've bought 3 glasses of wine and then tip them all into one.
That's not what happened.
It's put it this way. Sunta, she likes what we call a meniscus. She likes.
Should have got it in a pint.
When she pours
glass,
herself a glass of wine, it's an experiment. It's a good demonstration of what we call surface tension. Yeah.
She calls it fish bowling.
Fish bowling, yeah. So, since you spilt the wine, yes. Wine's gone down your jeans.
All down me.
In your bag, but also as you look down, oh, the horror, the horror. It's gone on the cream trousers.
Yep. Cream slack.
Of, well. That would certainly suggest he is not a Londoner.
Yeah, the guy next to me. And I would also add that this is it's quite an expensive show to go and see. So yeah. People have dressed up a bit.
Okay, it's good slacks.
But also he's wearing a cream trouser.
He's wearing a cream trouser, which I imagine...
Was it part of a suit?
No, it wasn't, actually.
What colour was the jacket?
Blue.
A blazer.
A blazer.
So I had hoped it was going to be rust-coloured.
Yeah, it was a blue
the
blazer.
The cream trouser. And a rust-coloured...
And a blue flowery shirt, I think.
Rusty, slatted slip-on with slatted leather.
So he didn't notice,
did he? So he hadn't noticed at this point that there was a splash of red wine on his cream trousers.
How much red wine are we talking about? A good splash?
I mean visibly.
Did it look like a map of Australia?
Easy, Gav, that's a different frame of reference.
What?
No, oh, fair enough.
It was like a splash, so not like one big bit.
Map of Ireland.
But it was along his entire thigh.
Oh, okay. Thigh-length splash. Okay.
A thigh-length...
A map of Korea.
Wow, yes, exactly. The Korean Peninsula.
The Nam.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So he hadn't noticed. So I sat there and I thought, well, there's like at least 5 minutes until the lights go down. Can I wait this out? I can't do it.
Surprised he didn't feel it, though.
Right?
He didn't notice at all. So I said to
room
him,
temperature.
Are you
wine,
sure he wasn't just being polite?
He obviously had noticed that
the girl next to him has sat down with pink hair.
He was chatting to his partner on the other side.
So what have you done?
So I turned to him and I said, I'm really sorry. You fessed up. I'm really sorry. I have accidentally spilt some red wine on you. I'm so sorry. I have got some water in my bag and some tissues if you want to try and clean it out.
Yeah.
And he said, it's fine. His wife or partner, whoever he was with on the other side...
Needless drum roll.
Was not as chill as he was.
Oh, really? Because she was unhappy about the slacks.
She was... Yeah. Is that red wine? Like it was the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, right.
And I said, I was like, my advice, maybe bicarbonate of soda or some white wine vinegar. That's quite good for those kind of things. And she looked at me and she said, I'm actually very good with stains, but red wine... is a tricky one. And that's it. I just wanted to disappear.
Oh, right. Man. But red wine's
a
tricky one.
We sat next to each other for 2 hours.
Do you think they were fishing for money?
I think she expected me to offer to dry clean. And there was no way I was going to offer to dry clean.
How gallant.
It wasn't your fault anyway.
It wasn't my fault.
Yeah, right. Did you bubble up the woman next door?
No, I didn't say anything.
Did you mention her?
I did, in the interval, go and get a second glass of red wine. Because I thought, well, at this point, what could go wrong?
Hey, Gav, a couple of glasses of wine.
Radio X.
Okay, guys.
Mm.
I've been looking at the papers, and I've seen a picture of Bluebird, which, of course, was Donald Campbell's record-breaking kind of hydroplane.
Yes.
At its new home in the Russian Museum in Coniston, Cumbria.
Mm.
Yeah, this is where he crashed and died.
Right, yes.
And he did those flips and went over.
Yeah.
He was practicing with his craft on Coniston Water 2 months before he's killed while trying to break his speed record in 1967. His dad, Malcolm, of course, broke the land speed record, 301 miles an hour in Bluebird.
It's the same name, wasn't it?
Same name, they always had these Bluebirds.
Mm.
Anyway, whatever happened to household name speed freaks?
Yeah, it's been a while.
No, but what happened to that? There was Richard Noble, but when did we sort of just say, oh, there's no point driving fast anymore? Now, when did it end?
I think it's because they got past the sound barrier, didn't they?
What, in a car?
Yes.
I know, but what I'm saying is it just... I'd still like to see it. I think it's a real shame we've given up on...
Man has lost its need for speed.
Yes, we've lost our need for speed, but also... It's a shame that when my father was a young girl, he'd have.
It was a big deal in those days.
You'd have known the fastest man on earth on water or land or air
at all times.
I don't know any of those three now.
Right,
I don't know the fastest man in the air is on water or land, and that's a shame.
That's a shame.
Every schoolboy in Britain should
absolutely
not only should they be British, but every schoolboy in Britain should know their names, and they should do talks at schools on why it's important to drive. Very fast across areas of Utah.
Yeah.
Or why they did it. Why they had to break it. Because it was there. The record was there to be broken.
Mm.
And what I'm saying is, we're not going to get any taller mountains, higher mountains. We're not going to get any deeper seas.
But that, but the envelope can be pushed.
But you can still push that.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
if we
yeah.
give up on that, as Sunta said, if man has lost his need for speed, it's a sad day indeed.
Yeah, might as well give up. Yeah.
Day.
Please wait. At least try and be the fastest man on a motorbike. And also a proper motorbike.
What do you mean?
A bruff superior.
No, all I'm saying is they start doing these two-wheel things.
Yeah.
That are like really sort of like a car. They've got like a whole thing.
Do you mean more than two-wheel things?
No, I'm talking about when you have these
motorbikes. They call it a motorbike, but it's a rocket.
It's like a rocket with two wheels on it.
Yeah, it's not a motorbike.
And they're fully encased. It's not like a guy with leathers.
No, there should, be pistons involved.
Yeah, of course there should be.
Absolutely.
No, I don't mind, Jeff. You should be able to see the chap, is
that's
what I'm saying.
Right. Yes, yes.
Yes, he's on a rocket, but he's straddling the rocket. Do I think the real trick is with this?
What?
Rails.
On rails? Right.
The fastest man on rails.
But I'd love to see that.
Like, so you could attach somehow the plane to the ground using rails.
Rocket sled on rails.
He's actually attached to the ground that way. But the craft is, you know, that's how I see the future. Like a very fast monorail.
I'd love to see that. I'd also like to see two very, very muscular men doing those cowboy ones really fast.
Yeah, doing that really fast.
Back and forth.
No, I'm saying, but there's lots of very straight rail tracks you could do this on.
Definitely, yeah.
So like the fastest train, that should be there as well.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, and you've got to be called Gary to do it as well.
Sure.
No, I think Gary's a really fast name, isn't it?
I think maybe a Scott surname.
Yes.
That would help too, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know why, but you're exactly right.
I don't know why, but it works.
Exactly right, yeah.
It does.
Yeah, if you like, Gav, I mean, it wasn't a prerequisite. I'm just saying it's a real sad day that when you've got sort of, you know, people who come and visit schools and things, is there is no more guys turning up.
Mm.
And they've always got to show how they did it using slides.
Absolutely.
The slide shows my chief engineer.
and he's always got a pipe.
Yeah. That's Ray Luton.
Sure.
Ray Luxton.
Yeah.
He developed the 94-cylinder engine that I used for this. This is when we arrived in Utah.
And she was a bit tricky at first.
As you can see, we're just assembling her there.
A bit skittish in the handling.
That's the assembling house. We had to build that from scratch, you know. We had to tie all the... You've got to be able to...
Oh, man.
It should be one of the prerequisites. It's not a record until you've told us until you've bored a load of school kids with a slideshow.
A
slideshow about it.
Beautiful.
That's vital.
Yeah.
And should be part of your ambition. And I just want to come home to Britain and do a slideshow about it.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang.
Radio X.
Ladies and gentlemen, homeless people could be arrested if they smell.
What?
Yes.
What?
The government has become embroiled in a row of whether homeless people could be arrested because they smell.
Oh, for goodness sake.
What?
Ministers plan to replace the 19th century vagrancy legislation with laws supporting people to get off the streets while allowing local authorities and the police to address behaviour that can make the public feel unsafe, like smelly people.
Hold on, does this apply to anyone who smells, or is it just homeless
people? That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
Because I stood next to a very smelly man on the underground yesterday in a business suit.
You can't just say, if you haven't got a home and smell, then you can be subject to laws, because that's simply not fair.
Then you're actually
punishing someone for not having a home and a bathroom.
That's right, yeah.
What the real crime is people who've got a sodding bathroom and smell.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Got no excuse.
What's their excuse?
Yeah, right.
That's right.
It's
and
ridiculous.
That's, there should be the odour patrol.
I agree.
And it'd be a really good box set, especially if they were quite brutal. And it just starts off with someone going,
or just behind you on a train,
and they're just going around and going, who's it? And they've all got quite big noses.
They literally sniff you out.
And they go, wait, it's in this carriage. It's you, isn't it?
Aruga! And then you get their lights
get
on you.
And they can see out time.
Away, yeah.
People are literally, their jaws are dropping as they look outside the train carriage and seeing someone literally getting hosed down, Rambo style.
Yeah, definitely.
Because
they've
got those big-ass hoses.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. Brian Denny, shows up with
a fire hose. Oh, he don't need no
fire
hose. He will just shave him dry. That's right. Anyway, don't be ridiculous. It's people with homes who smell. They're the problem.
Yeah, defo.
Homeless people, surprise, you know, you haven't got a bathroom.
Exactly.
Where are you going to wash?
Exactly.
Give them a bathroom. Give them a house.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Radio
X. Here's an offer from Volkswagen we think you'll approve of. Get 5.9% APR representative on an all-electric approved used Volkswagen ID4 or ID5 up to 36 months old on Solutions PCP and 2 years servicing. Your Volkswagen approved used retailer will also include 2 years warranty and 2 years roadside assistance as standard. An all-electric ID4 or ID5 to drive away today. What's not to approve of? Don't miss out. Offer ends April 30th. Search Volkswagen approved used ID.
Indemnities may be required. At participating retailers, vehicles up to 100,000 miles at activation. ID4 and ID5 models only. Volkswagen Finance.
Ah, spring. Little birdies. The smell of freshly cut grass. And at Subway, the all-new Smokehouse menu is on fire. Try the barbecue baller. Bite into succulent meatballs marinated in our smoky signature barbecue sauce with peppers and lettuce, topped with melted pepper cheese and crunchy crispy onions. It's a smoky, saucy sensation. Available in Subway stores and on the app. Subway, eat fresh. Freshly prepared per order.